The Money Show.
Consumer Ninja.
Consumer Ninja Wendy Nola with us. Business email compromise. It's even got a shortened version, BEC. B-E-C. We recently, I think, looked at this Edward Nathan Sonneberg's case. ENS was told they had to reimburse a client, Wendy, who fell prey to a scam. Another scam. Graham Coddington had fallen prey to a scam today. But they were making a payment for a house, and it all went horribly wrong. The court ruled that the firm, ENS, hadn't done enough to protect their customer from fraud. It's quite a biggie, I think, and quite an important one.
Yeah, that's what we spoke about a few months ago. And the way it works, and we're all vulnerable, this is why I like to talk about it fairly often, is that conveyancing attorneys are targeted by these fraudsters who hack into email systems, right? Because there's large sums of money going in and out of their trust account, whether you're a buyer of a house and giving them the deposit, or whether you're the seller, money's going in and out. And so they hack into the systems and they're watching. And then when the email, the invoice rather, gets attached, right, they then intercept that, keep the invoice, and take out the law firm's banking details and put theirs in. So the payment gets made to the law firm or any other company that has sent out an invoice. And, of course, the money goes to the wrong person. And then after a while, the company will say, we haven't had your payment. And you say, but I have paid. And then it all gets, everyone figures out what's happened. And in that case, without going into too much detail, was a very rare case, because the woman that was buying the house had paid over the money. I forget the amount, but it was large. Said there wasn't enough warnings, and the High Court found, well, yes, there is software that a company like yours should have had in place at the time, and various other things. And this woman was vulnerable because you didn't take the appropriate steps. And the order was that the law firm compensated her loss, right? And we spoke about it because that is so unusual now. Thomas Harburn, his general manager of the Legal Practitioners Indemnity Insurance Fund, told me this week that the ENS case is the only matter that he's aware of where the intended recipient of funds had been held liable for a cyber crime related loss. And he says, I'm informed by the attorneys dealing with that matter that leave to appeal has been granted, and they're waiting for the Supreme Court of Appeal to allocate a date for hearing. So that one is to be continued. But it's been almost 10 years now since that fund, because that's when they stopped funding the cyber crime, right? So if monies are lost, the firm can't go to the fund and say reimburse, because it was becoming so rife. And there have been hundreds of cases since. But especially conveyancing attorneys in general, should be very wise to this. And you will have seen, and not just attorneys, you will have seen emails from companies that will say in large red letters, we are not going to change our banking details. You know, the warnings vary in complexity. The reason they're there is because of BEC, right? So I got an email from, just signed himself GG, and he wanted me to know that he narrowly avoided the scam. He almost paid his $400 deposit on a property to the fraudster who'd hacked into the email. And I won't go into the details there, but essentially I asked him what BEC warnings the firm had on the original emails that he was sent, and it's just about nothing. He said they posted their banking details and then said, added here to then also a bank confirmation of our trust account. Please verify the account details against the bank confirmation before making payment. So I asked Thomas at the fund if he thought that was, tick the box of being adequate enough to prevent the recipient falling victim to this email compromise, and he, in short, said no. So I said, what is the gold standard as far as these email warnings to consumers by attorneys with trust accounts or anyone else, any company, individual that's sending out an invoice as an email attachment? What should you do? And this is what I wanted to share, Bruce. Okay, so He says the most prudent action, and this is really important, is to have a face-to-face consultation with the client or any other person making payment and to exchange banking information at that meeting. So retro, Bruce, retro. You can't really interfere with that, right? You're handing it over to each other across the table, and those are the banking details, and those are the ones you use to make your payment. He says, if a consultation is held over Teams or Zoom, video must be turned on and the respective parties must feed their banking details into the record before sending them. I really love this. I mean, it sounds ridiculously, cumbersome, but this is what fraudsters have led us to. He says, we recommend that banking details are exchanged at the beginning of the relationship when the FICA process is undertaking and not just before payment is made, which is usually when it happens. I would not give or receive banking details, says Thomas, in an email without a prior phone call or other means of communication. And I must say, nor would I, because I've been covering this for since about 2017.
Yeah.
And twice, once I made a call, it was actually a conveyancing attorney, and if I hadn't done that, I would have fallen victim to this with a large sum of money that I was due to pay. And another time, a tax consultant just sent an email payment and just said, oh, our banking details have changed. Pay into this EPSA account. And I phoned up and said, is this real? It doesn't come out via any other means, like a WhatsApp or call or anything. Oh, no, it is genuine, but lots of people have been phoning to check. I said, because it looks like a scam. you really have to. This was just in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So Thomas says, my suggestion is thus that the note states, attached here to then also a bank confirmation of our trust account, which details we shared with you telephonically and in our conversation on whatever. Please verify the account details before making payment. Any purported change will be a fraud, and you must notify us and your bank immediately. So, a long-winded explanation saying, in short, to know that what was written at the bottom of that attorney's letter to which the invoice was attached definitely was not enough, and this shouldn't still be happening in 2024 at all. So the bottom line is, if you're sending invoices via email to clients for payment, do what Thomas says. So at the very beginning of the relationship, tell them, if you're sitting across the table, that would be a very good idea, very good time to actually give them a printed out thing of your banking details, which they can keep on record. And if you receive an invoice for payment, before paying it, whatever you do, Google their number, don't take it off the invoice, make that call to just verify their banking details. Everyone appreciates it, because it's, if you don't and you get caught, as many people do, you know, your losses are usually fairly large, and it causes this whole rupture now between you and the service provider, because, you feel you've paid them. They haven't got money. They still want their money. And, it can all go terribly wrong. And usually, even if they haven't given you enough warning, it seems it's very rare for the company whose banking details were removed and replaced by the fraudsters, it's very rare for them to actually have any consequences. So you, the payer, have the consequence. So, yeah, please just spread the word and make everybody get into the habit of triple-checking these banking details so that we don't make it easy for these darn fraudsters.
Absolutely. Wendy Nola, thank you. Our consumer ninja, Wendy Nola, with us on a Wednesday evening.